This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What's on your mind? Let's do this. All right, Tuesday edition brought to you by our friends in Tioga. The Tioga Chamber of Commerce, proud to sponsor here. And I'll tell you what, they've got a great community, great activities for families, small town. They've got the drone camp for kids, which kids just love. And that's what we were actually out there for last year. No, 2 years ago now. And amazing. Farm Fest, the Pumpkin Fest, the Freedom Fest they do out there. Great downtown, 140-plus businesses. They welcome new businesses and industry with plenty of active community groups that support them. It's just a great place to live. Please visit in Tioga. Experience the different point of view. Visit TiogaND.org. TiogaND.org. That's TiogaND.org. And tell them what's on your mind sent you. Tammy Eibach and Robert Harms are in for Scotty today. What's on your mind? Guys?
Hey, thank you. We've got some people who have commented on Facebook or who have sent some text, so I just want to read those to the listeners. And it's food for thought, because early on in the show today, we talked about, you know, we're talking about the Legacy Fund during this segment. We're going to have Daryl Lees on here shortly, but we're asking the listeners to think about what their ideas would be in terms of using the interest from the Legacy Fund dollars, what would they like to see funded? So because they chimed in, I think it's only right that we share what some of those thoughts are. We've got someone who says, it's Brian, upgrade mental health care and give a grant to build another oil and gas refinery in North Dakota, fully fund school lunches and eliminate property taxes for retirees who are on Social Security. Another one who said, roads, the highway in the southwest are horrible, especially going from Mott to Hettinger. And I think we can attest to that, Robert. Yeah. We drove that road in December. We had a meeting down in Hettinger. And I agree, the road needs some upgrades, and I hope that there's funding to get that done this construction cycle. Someone else, Kendall, hats off to you. Leave it alone. Reinvest 75% of the earnings and use 25% to fund our schools. Not sure about that on our schools, but it's worth discussion. So with that, we've got Daryl Lees with us this morning. Okay, good morning. Daryl?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Daryl is president of the North Dakota Farm Bureau. We call Daryl a friend. We give him a call on occasion looking for some insight when it comes to Republican thinking, when it comes to what should people in North Dakota be doing. So, Daryl, welcome. Happy to have you.
Yeah, good to be on. It's an interesting conversation so far. I've had my earbuds in while I was feeding livestock prior to coming on here, and read through a little bit of the comments that you just read there and on Facebook. And so it's an interesting conversation for sure.
Boy, it is. Daryl, when you talk about livestock, you've got a big event coming up this weekend. I want to hear all about it.
Yeah, our annual Top of Dakota Club Lamb, Pig, and Goat Sale, along with rabbits that we added a couple of years ago. It's a sale where 4-H and FFA youth get their projects bought. It's the largest sale of its kind in the Northern Plains. We started it roughly 18 years ago, and we provide a special opportunity out of that. Every animal purchased in there qualifies for an exclusive show, which last year we had almost $24,000 in prize payouts just for that exclusive show for kids in North Dakota here. So been a great deal. We got some great livestock produced by some great North Dakota farmers and ranchers out here, and that happens at the fairgrounds at noon this Saturday.
Very good. It's worth a road trip to Minot, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, we're blessed with some moisture. We generally don't like it in snow this time of the year, but you know, maybe people will be able to have a little more positive attitude coming into the end of the week here and feel a little more free to get away from the farm, because, you know, the threat of fires the last few weeks has been pretty concerning across the western half of the state especially.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. What a great event, Daryl. Good for you to pull that off and be involved for the 18 years that has been going on. So hats off to you. So we wanted to include you in this conversation. We know you're viewed as a fiscal conservative, have a pulse on what the legislature is doing, where we're going as a state, and we've shared some things with you, the two or three bills that are in play, House Bill 1380, the funding streams bill, or the silos bill, I would call it, House Bill 1452, that's the Clean and Sustainable Energy Authority bill, and then the big bond bill that has already passed the legislature, and the governor has said he's going to sign it. He may have already signed it. I didn't check this morning, but that's House Bill 1431, and that's the one that contemplates $680 million worth of new debt. And we just wanted to have a conversation with you about fiscal policy, state policy, budget growth, and your impressions, thoughts with the conversation about how the legacy fund fits into all of this.
Well, it's an interesting conversation to have with our members across the state, Bob and Tam. There's a lot of, a lot of concern out there with, infrastructure needs, and I think where our members fall down on this is this money, if we're going to use any of it, and we shouldn't be using all of it, but if we're going to use any of that earnings, it should be for very specific items. And I agree, and most of our members, I think, would agree with Rod, what he said earlier, needs changed. But the key word is needs, not necessarily what we think is, nice and fluffy and give people a good, feel good, fuzzy feeling, but is to address needs. And those can change biennium to biennium quite drastically. And, we're looking at things like, let's just take one area. Across the state, we have some very severe issues with bridges. And that would be a very specific need and target of, and you can address that very directly. You can have a very intense conversation. You can understand exactly what that money is going to go for. You can understand those kind of things. But when you start doing this broad, continuing spending type of a thing, continuing appropriation, like you guys said earlier, you start creating dependency on that money. And it's hard to say, no, we can't fund that anymore because the greater need is over here now. Where if you direct it initially to where that greater need is, and the actual role of government. Another thing our members don't want is we don't want this money shoved into private industry. We don't care what industry it is. Government should not be picking winners and losers when it comes to industry. And so we're really cautious about that. We want an environment that promotes all industries in North Dakota, helps all people in North Dakota, and does what the government's supposed to do. And the one thing that they should be doing and doing a better job of is making sure that the infrastructure things such as roads, bridges, and those kind of things are to the point of where they're safe and they're actually up to date of where we are technology-wise and the size-wise of what the use of these roads are out there. So that one our members really get behind. They get a little bit queasy when you start talking about some of the other things, and they get queasy about continuing appropriations.
Yeah. And I think, to be fair, that House Bill 1431 does have $70,000 of bonding allocated for the Highway Trust Fund. And there was a debate going on in the legislature, I think, for a small increase in the gas tax, and that was defeated. And I think the legislature decided that let's take care of Daryl's point, some of the infrastructure needs with regard to roads and bridges. And so they did allocate $70 million towards that. And I think that even the Founders Committee that I'm a part of, I think, would probably agree with that idea, although the thing that we do struggle with is this dedication of ongoing spending, because the bill does say that those funds will continue to be appropriated long-term. Excuse me, that's 1431. 1380 contemplates that those silos will have ongoing spending from now on, and that is a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's where it gets difficult to, garner a lot of support. NDSB was extremely instrumental, as you guys know, as the boots on the ground to get the word out, get the signs up, have the conversations directly with people. You know, with 28,000 member families, we can be quite a force out there on the ground. And that's one of our specialties, to get this passed in 2010. And, you know, we saw the need for the future. And this is what I like. And I said it on here before, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago. We have to look at this legacy fund similar to what we would look at our personal retirement fund. You know, if you rob your personal retirement fund, now you can borrow from your personal retirement fund off and on and repay it back so that you have it there in your years of need down the line where you're not capable of working or you're to the point where you should be able to enjoy some of your life.
Yeah.
You need that same treatment here. Don't rob the retirement fund because you're going to put the future in kind of a bad position.
Short-term needs.
Daryl,
short-term
right.
Wants. Yep.
We'll see you after the break. Hang on. We've got Daryl Lees with us.
Phones are open for you at 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550, or text 701-226-8503, or What's in Your Mind is on the way.
Are you moving soon? Go with a family-owned, veteran-owned company, and your move could be paid for. If you need a realtor to find you a home or sell your home, you might be able to move for free with Action Movers. Here's how it works. Fill out an easy form online, and a local realtor will call you within 24 hours. You sell your home and or buy a new home, and you then receive $5 in cash for every $1,000 in home purchase or sale price. And then you move with Action Movers and save money. ActionMovers.com has the details, or call 701-566-5532.
The signature sale is going on now at Inner Office Furniture in Fargo. And that means you save 40% on special order Stickley and Charleston Forge furniture. You'll also save 30% on all in-stock residential accessories, rugs, and artwork. We are talking big savings on top quality furniture and accessories. So don't wait. Get into Inner Office for 40% savings on special order Stickley and Charleston Forge furniture. But only through March 20th and only at Inner Office Furniture on 1st Avenue North, Fargo.
Nearly 4,000 people work at the lignite mines and power plants in North Dakota. They are your neighbors, your relatives, your friends, and they produce the affordable and reliable electricity that keeps the lights on 24/7.
The coal industry, that's what got me here.
My job at the coal mine was a blessing. Almost everyone who lives in town is either in the coal industry or they're related to someone in the coal industry. Really, this community's heart and soul is in the coal industry.
It's the work that keeps you coming back, you know. There's not too many people in the world that get to do what we do. I'm Lee.
I'm Kate. I'm a heavy equipment operator.
I work at B&I Coal in Center, North Dakota.
And I am Lignite.
Meet these workers and others by going to www.iamlignite.com.
According to the Wall Street Journal, the new book, The Great Devaluation, is the number one business book in the world. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, two-time national best-selling author and owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold firm in the country. We help investors put physical metals inside their IRAs. My first book, Gold is a Better Way, sparked a movement. My new book, The Great Devaluation, is the number one book in the country. I believe every investor should own physical metals. It's why I'm giving away my best-selling book to anyone with an IRA with over $100,000 for free. Call 800-900-8000 to get the bestseller, The Great Devaluation, sent directly to your door. That's 800-900-8000. The new decision is now obvious. Don't you deserve to do it with the best? Call 800-900-8000 for your free book today. That's 800-900-8000.
What's on your mind? Scotty's off today. Tammy Eibach, Robert Harms sitting in, guest hosting. Our number is 800-228-0550. That's the live listener line. Well, you can call the leave of the message line. The Oasis Petroleum Be the Buffalo hotline number is 855-217-76, extension 1. 855-217-76, extension 1. Leave your message there for us on what's on your mind. That line is brought to you by our friends at Oasis Petroleum. They're hiring. OasisPetroleum.com. Also brought to you by our friends at PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. Lunch specials today. Glendon, Minnesota, chicken pot pie, scratch made, as well as Valley City. Plus, in Valley City, chicken pot pie or the hot beef sandwich going on today. Harwood's got a meatball dinner. 12th Avenue's got chicken fajitas. Chicken fettuccine at West Main Avenue in West Fargo, and 205 NP Avenue in Fargo's got their famous tater tot hot dish. Yum! Helping America fuel better, it's PetroServe USA. Tammy Eibach, Robert Harms in for Scott Henn, and this is What's on Your Mind. Fellas and lady?
Hey, we're here, and we've got Darrell Lees on the line with us today, too, talking about the legacy fund, the spending of the earnings. Darrell, when we were offline, we were chatting about you, and we were discussing what would happen if we had a legislative session and the legislators came together and established a priority, and they said this year we're just going to focus on safety, safety for roads and safety for bridges, because what I'm fearful of, the only time it will get addressed is when we've got one of my favorite farming friends traveling across a bridge and there's an accident. Can we get our legislators to maybe move towards more priorities instead of fragmenting the spending and building of infrastructure of buildings like a new building on the NDSU campus? Can we prevent some of those things?
Sorry, my phone cut out there, Tammy. The last little bit of that there, I missed.
I said, Darrell, do you think we can prevent some of that spending in the future if we came with a one priority? As an example, next session, it's all about safety. Tend to bridges,
no,
tend to roads.
Here's the thing is, now that we've let this horse out of the barn, so to speak, of, you know, we're going to try and fulfill everyone's needs out there, or wants. Some of them are wants. Let's be honest about it. No one likes to hear that their thing that they're advocating for is a want, but there's a lot of that every session that goes around. There's a lot of that involved in the discussions around legacy fund. But if we could get back to that conversation of pinpointed needs, you know, and here's where we need to go first. We need to get legislators to agree that we're only going to spend X percent, whether it's 25% or 50%, you know, spending all the earnings and reducing how this fund can grow, I think is, you know, kind of a dangerous precedent to go down. And just depending on new funds coming in to keep it growing, I think we need to look at, you know, can we get some legislators to really advocate for, we're going to spend part of this to improve the lives, in this case, in your example, the safety of our citizens on our highways, on our roads, on our bridges, or whatever aspect it might be in that that arena. I think you can sell that to the masses of a good, studied position to put money, or place to put money. Now, like I said, the horse is out of the barn. We've let everyone bring their wants and needs to the table. To unwind that clock gets tough if these things pass in the final days here. So I think that that conversation has to start yesterday. You know?
Yeah.
And I think that conversation has started to some point. But, you know, there's a projection out there. If you look at these things, there's a projection into that 2021, 2023 at the end of that, and then going into the 23-25 budget, where we could be spending ourselves into a required position that we're going to be, you know, half a billion to a billion short.
Yeah.
And no one's looking and talking about that. And
yeah.
And there's a few, you know, there's a few, I think, you know, our appropriations leader, Representative Delzer, I think, has maybe made mention of this.
Yeah.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but people aren't listening. They just think that this pot of gold, so to speak, at the end of the rainbow is always going to be there, and
yeah.
and we're propping up the general fund budget, and have the last couple of sessions by pre-spending earnings, which to me is really ridiculous. But that horse has already ran its course. So, you know, those are things that just are very concerning when we start talking legacy fund and the application of its earnings.
Yeah. And Daryl, I think you're absolutely right. A couple of principles I think that we should keep in mind is, you know, our grandparents, our parents taught us the power of compound interest. And that's a key thing. If we save 50% of the earnings and put it back into the pot, our estate would have something that would be phenomenal in years to come. And then two, how we set priorities in terms of the principle, the policies of what we do with that money. I think, A, we should do some financial planning. When does the general fund start to go down, oil and gas revenues start to go down where the general fund needs to have the legacy fund earnings to replace that loss in revenue? That should be a first and foremost principle or need for use of the legacy funds. And then other things like the visionary ideas that some of these bills contain, I think, are excellent. But I don't think the framework is quite crafted sufficiently to get us where we need to be yet.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of good things that have been discussed in there. I think trying to do all the good things at once with continuing appropriations is not the correct way to do it. I don't on my farm, or no other farmer and rancher sits down and goes, I'm going to continually appropriate $10,000 to, you know, more, putting up more hay, or I'm going to continue. You have a plan from year to year. You've got a 3 to 5 year plan.
Yeah.
But every year you readdress where your needs are and you shift that money to the correct location.
Sure.
You know, it's good to have that vision and plan out there. That's why we did this in 2010, was the vision. The vision was the future.
Yeah.
The far off future. We're in the immediate future still of this thing. It's 10 years old. It's a fledgling. It's an infant. This thing needs to mature. If the oil and gas, let's say the Biden administration would shut down oil and gas transportation on any mode because of its dangerous thing, and this thing collapses in North Dakota, 25-27%, I think you said earlier, or something like that, $1 and $4 comes to the general fund.
Yep.
We would need $1.3 or $4 or $5 billion to replace that right now.
Yep.
And this does not create the earnings for that yet. This thing needs to be built up to create the earnings to sustain that catastrophic happening.
Yeah. And the listeners need to remember, you know, I grew up in Tioga. I started my professional career in 1980. We had an oil collapse in the early 80s, and then we had another one in 2015. And remember, last year during the pandemic, oil traded at a negative $37. In this budget cycle, in the previous budget cycle, we had to take $1.7 billion out of the budget because of the downturn in oil revenues. We emptied every savings account that we had in state government in order to pay the bills and keep the budget balanced. So we've built kind of a fiscal house of cards, if you will, and we've got to pay close attention to it.
Absolutely, and that's exactly where our members are. You know, let's do a studied approach and do things that we can get our hands and heads wrapped around.
Yeah. Daryl, thanks for the help now or this morning, and particularly lots of thank you for the support in 2010. The Farm Bureau was one of the key partners for us at that time.
The University of Mary is grateful for the healthcare workers and teachers that take care of our community in times of crisis. That's why we are offering all teachers and healthcare workers a thank you scholarship valued at the tuition cost of your first class. Don't delay. Deposit by April 30th to receive your first class free. Visit online.umary.edu and use the code SCOTT to waive your application fee.
Hi, this is Andy Murnock with Piper's Auctioneers, hosting these incredible live and online equipment auctions in Bowdoin, Steele, Marmouth, Jamestown, Dodge, Anamuse, Lear, Fairmount, Raleigh, and Bismarck, North Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Pelican Rapids, Minnesota. Piper's market for quality and well-maintained equipment is strong, so if you want to sell your equipment at Piper's Central Dakota Regional Auction in Steele or in Piper's Upper Midwest timed online-only auctions, contact us today at 701-523-7366 and view all land and equipment inventories at Piper's.com.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A meeting on Monday led by President Biden that featured legislators on both sides of the aisle received positive reviews from Republicans and Democrats as Congress tries to hammer out a major infrastructure package that could end up north of $2 trillion. It was a good discussion, Senator Roger Wicker, a Republican from Mississippi, told reporters afterwards. The FDA and the CDC will stop using the Johnson & Johnson vaccine at federal sites and urge states to do so as well while they investigate safety issues Wednesday. Six recipients, all women between the ages of 18 and 48, developed blood clots. All of the women developed the condition between 6 and 16 days of vaccination. Blue Origin, the Jeff Bezos-led space company, announced that it was targeting Wednesday for the launch of its NS-15 rehearsal mission. The company said in a tweet Monday that the launch is set to take place from its launch site near Van Horn, Texas, USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Scott's off today.
Phone ringing.
Tammy Eibach, Robert Harms sitting in the guest hosting chair. Brought to you by our friends at H.A. Thompson & Sons. Started in 1908, H.A. Thompson & Sons have been providing high-quality plumbing, heating, air conditioning, and mechanical contractor services not only in the Bismarck-Mandan area, but across the region, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, and Montana. Anything you can think of as far as, plumbing, heating, air conditioning, and mechanical contractor services. Of things like garbage disposal replacement and humidifier installation and natural gas piping for your grill are things you really don't think about. But H.A. Thompson & Sons does that, as well as commercial services as well. Of course, they're a Link service contractor. They provide cost-effective environmental maintenance agreements for buildings and business owners throughout our region. Find out more at hatandsons.com. hatandsons.com. Or give them a call at 701-223-3393. 223-3393. It's H.A. Thompson & Sons. Tell them the What's On Your Mind team sent you in there. And speaking of that, the team is, we got a co-hosting team, guest team. Tammy Eibach and Robert Harms in for Scotty and What's On Your Mind. Guys?
All right, very good. Thank you. So in the studio is Dave Weiler, and David was a legislator and worked with Tammy and myself back in 2007 and 2009. He was one of the principal architects in the legislature of what we now have as our legacy fund. So welcome, David.
Thank you very much, Robert.
How you doing?
I'm well.
All right.
Pleased to be here.
Yeah, good to have you. So, well, you know that we wanted to talk to you a little bit about legacy fund and what happened back in 2010, why it's structured the way it is. And why don't you talk about that a little bit and your thoughts with regard to the two or three bills that we've been talking about and its impact on the fund.
Well, again, thank you again, Robert. And, you know, the reason that we did this, the legacy fund, now 12 years ago, was simply to come up with a savings account for North Dakota for future generations. The revenue from oil that was coming in, they were spending most of it, if not all of it at the time. And yourself and others like Connie Triplett and Al Carlson and Bob Stengem and a lot of other groups like the NDEA, the North Dakota Farm Bureau, and many organizations, we got together and formed a coalition And everybody was on the same page. And so we thought that we should try to save some of this revenue from oil and set it up in a fund that was much more difficult to touch. And so we did it in a constitutional amendment. And so 12 years later, you know, we're here, and we've got about nearly $8 billion in the fund. And the purpose of it was simply so they didn't spend all the money and save it for future generations.
Sure. So, David, the way the constitutional measure was written, it doesn't have any purpose or any goal. It doesn't say you have to spend it on education or property tax relief or taking care of the elderly in nursing homes. Why was it structured that way?
Well, Robert, it was structured that way, and we wrestled with that quite a bit. There were people that felt we should earmark the earnings from the fund. There were those that felt we should earmark that for something. We weren't quite sure what. There were some different ideas thrown out. But at the end, we decided that this is going to be a long-term solution or a long-term plan, and we did not want to strap future legislative bodies with where the money went. We just felt like the legislatures of 2020, the legislatures of 2030 and 2040 would know then best how to use the revenues from that fund.
Okay, so it was by design that legislature after legislature would have the ability to use the funds for the needs of the day.
Correct, because in 2009, you know, the spending needs, for lack of a better way to put it, would be different in 2020, 2030, 2040. So that it was set up that way by design, and I still get stopped in the grocery store sometimes or wherever I am, and people say, yeah, I bet you wish you would have earmarked that money for something, and I still think we did the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's right. We had Rod Backman on earlier, and Rod talked about the budgeting process and the idea that people come in, agencies come in, and they compete for limited dollars. And so what should happen is the best ideas then rise to the top. The best programs that serve the public interest get funded, and those that don't serve the public interest as well maybe have to wait next year, the year after, or year after that. Or maybe not get funded at all.
Yeah, I did listen. I did listen to that part, and I do agree with Rod that it would have been better this time around in this session if they would have spent the earnings as a one-time spending and make these groups or organizations come back next session and explain why, you know, what did they do with the money, how best did they use it, and why they should continue to get it again.
So
you know the again I apologize. I want to go back to the purpose of the legacy fund was we knew that eventually the oil revenues were going to start to decline at some point in the future, and we needed something to make up for the lack or for the decline in oil revenues. And so we felt that the earnings from this fund would go a long way in helping us shore up as the revenue started to decline.
Yeah, and to that point, the listeners should understand a couple things. The state officials predict that oil production in North Dakota, oil production, will start to decline by about 2025. So that's not so very far out, one. And then two, and I think Daryl Lees mentioned that in the previous segment, you know, we are using legacy fund earnings today to help balance the budget. In 2017, we used $200 million of legacy fund earnings to balance the budget, and then $300 million the following. And then the expectation is that in this session, they'll spend pretty much all of the earnings to balance the budget. So we are using legacy fund earnings now, even though oil revenues haven't declined. So we need to be thoughtful about that going forward. So
Definitely agree with that.
Yeah. So, David, do you have some thoughts about the bills that we've talked about, 1452 and 1380, or the big bonding bill, 1431, that I think is in the governor's hands at this point if he's not already signed it?
Well, yeah, you know, as I mentioned, you know, the 1380 is one where they're taking, you know, the money into 10 different, putting the money into 10 different buckets. And, you know, I've kind of already said I wish they would have done that differently. I know that there's still time for that to happen.
Yeah.
And it would be a good thing if they did. I do want to make a comment about the bill that did pass, and I know it's probably pointless at this time, but House Bill 1425, you know, that invests some of the legacy fund principal balance in North Dakota, and you and I have talked about this,
yeah.
I think it's okay. I think it's a good thing to invest some of this money in North Dakota. I do have an issue with half of the money that they're investing is going to go through the Bank of North Dakota, and the return to the legacy fund will be 1.5%. And in order to do that, there was a clause or there was a section in that bill that passed, and I think it's important that people should know this. There's a section in that bill that passed that was a one-time exemption for the prudent investor rule. And that means that, well, I think it's kind of self-explanatory, but how many people that are listening today would give their financial planner a one-time exemption for the prudent investor rule? I don't think many would.
Sure. Yeah. And that's so. House Bill 1425. You and I both testified against that. The concept of that bill I agreed to, which was the idea that we should invest legacy fund dollars in North Dakota. And I think 100% of people in North Dakota would agree with that concept.
Mm-hmm.
But we should also be mindful about some of the provisions in that bill that you and I were concerned about. You mentioned the exemption for the prudent investor rule being one. So I agree with you on that. Those are some of the policy questions. So you and I talked a little bit. So if you were visiting with the governor, legislative leaders today, and talking about the legacy fund, do you have any suggestions? What do you think should be done with the bills that are currently in play?
Well,
any ideas?
Again, I think the bills that are currently in play, I think it's they're. I think they're spending too much of the earnings. They need to be very careful. Again, like you said, they're already using a lot of the money to balance the budget.
Yeah.
Of a lot of the earnings, and I think those earnings are, help me with that, projected to be nearly $800 million. Is that correct?
No, I think it's a little high. It's probably closer to 5.
Okay.
The fund makes about 5 to 6%, depending upon.
Okay.
The year, but so $8 billion, it'll make about $500 million.
Okay, I thought I heard somebody talking about $800 million, but okay. So if it's $500 million, you know, if they're using some of that to balance the budget, but yet they're, you know, how much of that are they spending in House Bill 1380?
Yeah,
for other uses. So is that gonna be a problem? Are they gonna have to adjust those numbers down? And again, I would certainly like to see them change that from ongoing spending, you know, just every biennium these organizations get X amount of dollars. I just think it needs to be a one-time thing that they get, and then they come back again and ask for more, because the spending needs, again, are going to change.
Sure.
From biennium to biennium.
Sure. So when the bills speak to continuing appropriation, you and I've been through every legislative session since 93, that term, continuing appropriations, that's what that means to the listener, is that that's going to be an ongoing appropriation for future legislatures. So, for example, if there's $40 million to the Clean Sustainable Authority, continuing appropriations, that means that gets that $40 million every 2 years forever until the legislature says stop.
Correct.
Okay. All right, great. All right, very good. Mr. Todd.
That's it.
All right, very good.
701-258-0551, 800-228-0550. We are not done yet. More What's on Your Mind on the way.
Hey, Fargo Moorhead, you can stop paying rents right now. People's Home Equity Mortgage can help you get into a new home. So what are you waiting for?
You may be surprised at how much you can afford, and it might be less than you are paying in rent. Contact me, Joel Fisher, NMLS number 1552467 at 701-204-6214 at 701-204-6214, or visit us at peopleshomeequity.com. People's Home Equity, where great people deserve great advice.
This is Todd. He's a North Dakota farmer and customer of High Plains Apache.
Advanced in boom height control and PWM nozzle control systems. Everything just gets better every year, and that seems to be what drives guys to trade. You know, we run a couple different GPS systems. Raven stuff is factory installed. We actually do a plug and play with John Deere controls now too. It's come in handy, and there's a lot of red sprayers on all green farms.
You can find High Plains Apache online at highplainsapache.com.
Let's ask Brock Walker from Blue Flint Ethanol Plant in Underwood. He's an electrical instrument technician. A little bit about the question of ag and energy coming together. What do you think you're in? Which one?
I would think we're in both. I mean, we are, providing a place for local farmers to bring their corn that they grow, and they can locally bring it to our facility. We receive most of our corn from local farmers that truck their corn to the plant to sell. So definitely part of the ag industry in that respect, But the energy industry, we're trying to, create energy independence here, North Dakota, so we can use the corn we grow here and create a fuel that we can use right here in the state and other places. So I'd say we're in both the energy and the ag industry.
Ethanol and agriculture are one, and building better communities. Find out more at ndethanol.org. ndethanol.org.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
What's on Your Mind, powered by Schwann Buick GMC. You know, getting your vehicle in for service can be a hassle. Well, SchwannBuickGMC.com, you can schedule right online. Right on there, they'll show you the next appointment. Click on there, they can even get a free service loaner. Don't miss a beat. Call ahead to it, Schwann Buick GMC, 663-7484, 701-663-7484, or online at SchwannBuickGMC.com. It's What's in Your Mind, the Scottless version today.
But Bob Harms is here, and he just might go to a special guest here. We'll see what happens. Right.
Very good. Thank you, Todd. And that special guest is my old boss and longtime friend, former Governor Ed Schaefer. Good morning, Ed. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Robert. I'm glad to be with you. As a listener, I've enjoyed hearing the conversation and kind of getting the good conversation going about the legacy fund, the spending, the earnings, and all that. And I think you've helped shape this conversation in the minds of your listeners here today, and I'm hoping that's been really helpful. It has been for me.
Yeah, no. Well, I remember you and I when I worked for you back in the 90s. I remember how the Permanent Oil Trust Fund was born back then. I think it was approved by the legislature in 97. And then, as you know, eventually it became known as the Not-So-Permanent Oil Trust Fund. And that gave birth to the constitutional measures that we put on the ballot both in 08 and 2010. And Dave Weiler is in the studio with us. He was the prime sponsor of the measure that produced what we now are talking about as the Legacy Fund. So, Ed, I wanted you to maybe reflect a little bit on the policies involved in the Legacy Fund and the legislation that we've been talking about this morning, House Bill 1452, and the silos that are crafted in House Bill 1380 and the bond bill that's been passed. Maybe reflect a little bit for the North Dakota public and your thoughts on everything that we've been visiting about this morning.
Well, let's see. So we've got another hour and a half allocated. I think Dave, in the earlier segment, mentioned that the theory of having the earnings of the fund go into the general fund to be allocated during a legislative session to the priorities of that time in that session. And I think that's what's been concerning me about this legacy fund. The bills that are in place are spending the money in the future, so they're not allowing the legislative process to work as what the priorities might be at the time, and those priorities shift and they change, and you know sometimes you're in drought and your priorities are different, you know, for development. Sometimes you know we have lots of money, sometimes we don't have money. I mean, you know, it's the cyclical nature of our economy and our legislative process, and for this legislative session to be binding earnings for the next, I don't know, 15 years or 20 years, really takes out of the hands of the legislators the ability to prioritize spending and investment in the state of North Dakota for the times at hand. And I think we've seen instances of that in the past, where it's come back to bite us, where we've allocated dollars and then that revenue source goes down and then you don't have enough money to pay for what you wanted to pay for.
Sure.
And that can happen again. It can happen again next session if the Biden administration shuts down oil, you know, fossil fuels or limits fossil fuels, our revenue, what 27% of our revenues now spent in the general fund are from oil revenue. I mean, if those
yes.
go down,
yeah.
what happens? So, That's my concern. I'm waxing long here, but
sure,
you know, that we're binding ourselves to spending the earnings of the legislature in a manner that does not allow the flexibility to act and react to the conditions at hand in future sessions. That bothers me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree 100%. So there's time just flies by when you're doing this, which kind of surprised me. I asked Dave the same question, but Ed, so if we were visiting with the governor and legislators that are doing this, any suggestions? You taught us, Robert, don't bring me problems without bringing me solutions. So any thoughts about how we might fix this or guidance that you might offer legislators and the governor in the days ahead?
Well, I think, there are several things. I mean, first of all, I think they should put a stop to any future allocation of earnings. I mean, I think, okay, we did it this session. We've got these bills. They're going to pass. The governor's likely going to sign them. Okay, that's enough. Let's stop. I put a moratorium on any any allocation of spending in the future. Then you can do financial plan. I think you should go in and build a financial plan and say, when are we going to start seeing declining revenues from oil and gas? When are we going to start seeing pressure on our economy? When are we going to start seeing budget holes from ongoing mandatory expenditures? We can look out here 10 years and see, you know, where is this going to happen and where might we need this money?
Yeah.
So a good financial plan would be good. And then I just really think that the legislators have to really go back and look at the original intent of this legislation and setting up the legacy fund and recommit themselves to that mission was there instead of, you know, finding all kinds of projects to spend the money on.
That's a great point.
Yeah, very good, very good. All right. Well, I know we're going to wrap up here shortly. So, Ed, I want to thank you again for taking the time visiting with us. One text comes in and says, curious how much money does the wind sector of North Dakota distribute to the Legacy Fund? Answer is zero.
It's on the line from Razor's Edge Directional Drilling. They're from Bismarck, but they go everywhere, and it's a good time to get those projects going right now. Luke, why is that?
Hey, Scott. Well, this year, there's not much moisture out there. I mean, all the frost is gone. The grass is still dead, so it's a perfect time to get in, get your projects done, whether it's water lines, trenching, drain fields, septic tanks, electric lines, anything you need bored or dug in, we're your guys.
And you're doing horizontal directional drilling. What's that allow you to do?
So we're going to come in with our drill and go underneath, whether it's your yard, your driveway, you know, the road. If you got to get across the road, you're not going to dig across that stuff. So we'll come in and bore underneath it and little to no mess.
How about that, folks? So waterline projects, septic tanks, drain fields, stock dams, power, anything that needs to be drilled or dug in, and you hardly know they were there. RedDrilling.com to find out more. RedDrilling.com. Thanks, Luke.
Thanks, Scott.
Or give him a call on his cell, 701-934-1134. Razor's Edge Directional Drilling.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system.
Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.